With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3!
Yeah!
Goal!
Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. I know it's hard, but we're still on the hunt for promotion and there's a lot to be positive about, I promise. I'm Charles, and with me to try and get a hold on our emotions are Neil Edgerton Scott and Danny Brothers. Hello, guys. You okay?
Hello.
Hello. this might not be as jovial as it was last week.
No.
Define okay, Charles.
Yeah, that's a great question to start with. Yeah.
Okay, define okay. You're all still alive. You're all still well.
Yeah.
Have you stopped crying?
Yes.
Just. I've got a counselling session on Tuesday, and my counsellor is a Bristol Rovers fan. Which
oh, you're
be a lot
kidding.
No, he actually is. We talk about it before and after every session.
Oh, no.
I feel like that might be the
he's going to be
session.
Ready. I might need to book an extra hour.
Yeah. Is it a face-to-face thingy?
Yeah.
If he's got his Bristol Rovers shirt on, Danny.
I reckon you turn up there, right? And if he starts talking about football, you can just go, don't.
I might bring a small child from Scunthorpe with me.
Goalkeeper?
Was it goal, Ernie? Yeah.
Oh, dear. Bloody Nora.
It's so ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, if we start with the positives, which was that actually up until, what, about 20 to 5, something like that, it was a cracking day. It was a wonderful day. I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed seeing lots and different people, including you, Neil. You were up there with your family. That was nice to see you all before the game. And we all had a nice drink and a chat, didn't we, with some of our fan club slackers. That was good.
Neil went in a caravan.
Neil did go in a caravan.
Is there a special caravan section, Charles, on the Running Order?
It's called the John Joe, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We can go straight there if you'd like, Neil.
Yeah, can we?
I
want to hear about the caravan.
An audible tour of your caravan, please.
Yes, come on.
is the, I mean, you know what caravans are. There's not much of a, there's not much of a tour to do.
You say that, but I went to, when I went to the, I went to, down to Cornwall to watch the Euros final with my best mate last year.
Oh yeah, I remember, yeah.
And I hadn't been in a caravan for years. So when I turned up there and I saw what caravans are now like, it blew my mind.
Oh yeah, so we had a TV and everything.
Wow. Modern technology, eh?
Toilet.
But there's actual space as well.
Yeah, to be fair, it was quite spacious.
Yeah. Could you swing a cat in there?
It was right by a lovely little lagoon.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
Lagoon, there's a lagoon on one side, a mountain on the other. Beautiful. Oh, nice. Of course, it was absolutely hammering it down.
Of course. Was it in Barrow itself?
It was not, actually. It was in a little place near a place called Milom. It was Port Haverig. It was
called. Oh, very nice.
About 40 minutes it was from Barrow.
Okay.
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous time.
Did you have a kettle?
Yes, and a microwave built in.
What was for dinner on Friday?
So we did that beautiful thing of doing a pre-shop before we went.
Yeah, a pre-shop, did you say? Or shop?
Pre-shop, yeah, a pre-shop. And
it wasn't like just a quick tequila before you left.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Well, that's how I start every morning. and then we got up there and realised we'd forgotten a load of stuff. Of course, so went to the local co-op. What did we have? We had many snacks, lots of bowls of crisps and sweets and stuff, and then we had a little pesto pasta dish.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
Get that in there.
Tremendous it was.
Lovely.
Played lots of games of cards, lots of board games.
Sounds settled like off. A fab
finished
time.
Finished Friday evening with Pitch Perfect on ITV2.
Oh, nice. Yeah, very nice. Did you have a round of these sheep are, these cows are small, these are far away?
Did not. We should have done that. Tremendous. Lovely it was. I tell you what, it's a nice little area, actually. And I say that because Barrow is not a nice little area.
I've been hearing Charles' tales of pre-match and post-match. And
Barrow is a horrible place.
Barrow does not seem like the place you want to go to.
Could I literally just say this? So we got off the train. So I went up on the train and I had to change at Lancaster. And I got the 11 o'clock from Lancaster to Barrow, which is an hour long on the train, and there were loads of Cobblers fans already there. Yeah, there were loads of Cobblers fans getting the same train, and we got on. Everyone was in really good spirits. I met Mitch Pinnock's dad. That was fun. And Pinnock Senior gave us all a bit of a sing-song before the game, which was absolutely lovely.
A song about Mitch Pinnock, didn't he?
He did do a song about Mitch Pinnock. He actually... this is it, right? So... we ended up, so where I was, when I boarded the train, there weren't enough seats, so I just stood near the doors where I'd got on. And it turned out that that was basically right next to Mr. Pinnock. So after, he was talking and he was on the phone for a bit. Anyway, once he was no longer doing other things, I just turned around and said, are you Mitch Pinnock's dad by any chance? And he just sort of went, yeah. How do you know that? And I went, well, I saw a little video yesterday of you singing. Can I just say I'm quite disappointed you haven't brought your guitar? And we had a nice chat, and then I introduced him to Tom Cliff, and we all had a nice chat. And then Tom basically told the entire carriage that it was Mitch Pinnock's dad. So, of course, what happened next was the entire carriage of Cobblers fans started singing, Pinnock, give us a song. Which was great. So he did. He gave us a rendition of the song that he'd put on his Instagram. Nice. About Mitchie Pins a Cobbler.
It's all about the gram, isn't it?
It was all about the gram. Yeah. And that was fun. Anyway, what I was actually saying was when we got off the train, literally we walked out of the train station in Barrow, and immediately there wasn't even a second between us stepping outside and off of the train platform and station when Barrow's a shithole, we want to go home started sipping. So literally we had walked out of the doors and bang, there it was. The timing was perfection. It was very good. And so true.
Well, that's the thing. All away fans sing that, right? Wherever they go, such and such. We talked about it on the way up, actually. I was explaining the song to the kids, which is a strange thing to explain to kids. And when we got to Barrow, I was like, this is the one place, I think, where that 100% rings true. We drove from the place we were staying into Barrow, and as soon, it's ridiculous. You literally pass a sign saying welcome to Barrow, the next thing you see is an absolutely ginormous industrial plant with smoke billowing out of it, some ridiculously old looking houses that essentially look like they're from a 1960s TV show. It's just horrible. There was nothing endearing at all about Barrow itself as a place to visit. Don't ever go there.
I remember singing that song at Bristol Rovers and feeling really ironic that I was walking back to my house in Bristol after singing that song.
My house is a shithole. I want to go home.
Shit.
Ah, bugger.
Oh, funny. Oh, the thing was that apart from the Year 6 Brigade, as I'm going to refer to them as, I mean, they're essentially, weirdly, none of them look like goths, but they all liked black, didn't they?
That was honest to God.
We were all in the Wetherspoons, including Neil and I, and then all of a sudden a loud bang happened, and genuinely, it sounded like a bomb had gone off, and everyone just sort of started going, what the, was
that? The Russians?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
What's going on? Genuinely, we thought maybe one of the nuclear things had gone off in Barrow. But we were like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, what, about 20 to 30, would you say, Neil?
20 odd.
Most of which were about 11 or 12.
At most.
Essentially, it was a school trip out, wasn't it? Because there were a couple of old men with them.
There was 18, probably 7 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then there was two 55 to 60-year-olds with them.
It was so
all dressed the same, by the way. All of them, all dressed exactly the same.
Yeah, Stone Island gear, you know.
Yeah, well, not Stone Island gear. I think it was Primark with Stone Island badge stuck on.
Oh, love it.
Like you used to get in the margin.
Yeah, it was. It was like Bone Island.
I think I've been there once.
I think we all have, Danny.
I'm going to
use that line. Sorry,
we've lost Neil.
I'm going to message you. Fancy coming to Bone Island?
Just next to Centre Parks.
I'll tell you what, I'll live pod it, I'll message her, and then when and if she responds, I'll let you know. Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant. They all come round the corner, don't they? All giving it the big one, basically trying to invite us outside.
Banging on the windows, weren't they?
I presume what they wanted to do was play a game of snakes and ladders with us. I don't know what else that they'd like,
hide and seek,
to do.
I think.
Hide and seek, right, yeah. British Bulldog, maybe.
Yeah.
Hide the sausage.
Tiddlywinks.
Tiddlywinks, yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. It was rather odd.
Oh, and I've got a reply from Polly.
Have you? Does it end with off?
For fuck's sake, Neil, I've just come out of meditation to this.
Marvellous. It was just everybody else was that I met in Barrow. They were all, you know, nice people and, you know, happy to have a chat and happy to let us just be there doing what we were doing. And then there were these kids that just wanted a fight.
They had zero interest in the football.
No.
They had zero interest in the football. They had zero interest in anything at all, apart from being just general Herberts.
Yeah.
By the way, Wickham have beaten Milton Keynes Dons in the second leg.
They're fabulous.
And are there any, to Wembley.
Are there any MK fans crying right now? Because that'll show me right up.
There's a couple just ripping off their MK shirt. They've got a Luton one underneath.
Marvellous.
They were a group of what I would call morons, and I mean actual morons. Mm. I use moron as a bit of a joke. Don't be a moron. But they were actual morons. No brain cells between them. Just looking to cause problems and to cause trouble. For no reason, apart from just look at us. We're a bunch of idiots. There's nothing to gain from it. It was quite funny, actually, because there was a group of, like, Cobblers fans drinking in the pub around the corner from the Wetherspoons that I would call more of the lad type ones, you know, bigger boys, if you will. And this group were obviously going towards them. As soon as that Cobblers group looked like they might want a bit of it, that group suddenly turned around and quickly bolted.
Is that when they came back to the Wetherspoons, is it?
That's when they came back past the Wetherspoons, because okay. a couple of those Cobblers fans had left the outdoor bar area and were advancing. Not in any, they were just saying, look, we're here, we're not going anywhere, come on then. And then they thought, uh-oh. Yeah. So, legged it.
Everyone looks sad outside of Wetherspoons, don't they?
Yeah. It wasn't even a nice Wetherspoons.
Oh, hang on a minute.
No, that's an oxymoron in itself.
The toilets were on the ground floor, Neil. I mean, that is the height of luxury in a Wetherspoons.
You didn't need a plane ticket.
No, exactly. That's a height of luxury. I enjoyed it.
What made it funny for me was I smoke, and you know, don't mind admitting that, so I thought I'll nip into the beer garden for a cigarette. Asked the said no smoking in the beer garden. I was like, that's a bit strange. So I asked the guy that was out there working, can I smoke out here? No, mate, you have to go out the front. Oh, right. Okay, I assume I can't take my beer out the front. Oh, yeah, no, you can take your beer onto the street. That's fine. And I was like, is that a bit backwards? And he was like, yeah, well, it's north, isn't it, mate? Literally what he said.
Fair enough. Barrel.
Welcome to Barrel.
And then, so the game itself, I thought
we
played...
To,
well, I just want to say that like I do think everybody, and this includes me, obviously, we're all down in the dumps about what happened. But the game itself, we were great, especially in that first half. There's no real reason why we shouldn't be going into the playoffs feeling really positive about our chances, because we've played really well. We are the form team going into the playoffs, so we should feel positive. We should feel good about it. It's a complete shitter how it's ended up us being in the playoffs rather than being promoted automatically. But we should at least sort of see the fact that we won that game comfortably. And, you know, that's the first time Barrow have lost at home while Phil Brown's been in charge. It's
the second time, is it?
Oh, was it the second? At home?
Didn't Port Vale beat them there?
I don't know. Maybe
either way.
But either way, it's a good result. Also, you know, Barrow have not conceded more than 3 goals at home all season. So we've matched their worst defeat, I believe. Most teams go there, and when they win, they only win by a goal. We put 3 past them in 20 minutes.
Yeah. I think, look, you know, look, there's a lot of, and we've done it. We had a chat about it on the WhatsApp group, didn't we, about the Scunthorpe team and all that sort of stuff. But actually, you know, look, I think at the end of it, you have to just hold your hands up and say, look, we did best we could. It's a great result away from home, 3-1, equivalent of 2-0, meaning Bristol Rovers needed to score 7. They did. That's what happened. Move on. Playoffs is still a good outcome. Like you say, Charles, we're on form. We're flying. The only worry is little Johnny Maxted.
I know, because we've only seen him in the Pizza Cup, haven't we? And
yeah, and he made a clanger.
Robbo made a clanger early doors in that Barrow game.
He got Exeter to Wembley.
He got away with it, though, didn't he?
Well, he did get away with it, but I mean... You know,
so you can't be a clanger if you get away with it.
Well, I don't know.
Doesn't count.
But also, I'm still counting it.
Have you seen the replay of the sending off at all?
Yes, I have.
Was it definitely out of the area?
It's not like one of those where you go, oh, that's
appealable.
Potentially, you know, controversial decision. He's definitely outside of his area. Definitely, by a good couple of yards. There's no question about it. It's one of those where, essentially, if he doesn't do what he's done, then we lose, or, you know, potentially, you know, they're probably going to score from that, because the ball's going over Robbo's head and there's a Barrow attacker there, empty goal. He's more than likely going to score. So that then means that we're going to have to score twice to even stand a chance. So he's taken one for the team to try and win us that promotion.
But it is only a one game ban, isn't it?
And it is only one game ban. So we'll only miss the first leg of the playoffs. I don't think that we've got anything to worry about with Johnny Maxted. I really don't.
Into the cauldron at Field Mill.
It is a bit.
I think we're going to show how much we rely on our defence as well now with little Johnny Maxted in goal. I mean, he's competent, isn't he? And let's
yeah, look, he's
not Jonathan Mitchell. He's not. I mean, actually, we're going to see. It's going to come full circle that what the guy said at the start of the pre-season Q&A about the two goalkeepers.
Yeah,
we're actually going to find out. But he's got his chance. That's what you have a backup goalkeeper for, right? I think what Roberts did in at the time, I was fuming at him. I was like, what are you doing, you idiot? You just cost us the playoffs as well because you're going to miss the whole playoffs. Because it's one game, it's not so bad.
In hindsight,
I think what he was doing was trying to win the game. Which I think the whole thing about it was we're trying to win that game. The whole thing that John Brady would have said to him, Colin Calder would have said to him, just go and win and win well. And we started to do that. We went 3-0 up. I think the hard thing is the fact that we went 3-0 up in 22 minutes, whatever it was. That made it so much harder to come down from. Because I was singing in my little office thing. I was going mad saying, like, there's no chance they're going to score like 8 goals at that point when we're 3-0 up. Mm. We're going to score more. We just look like we're going to go and score 4 or 5, don't we? It was just one of them. It's that Leighton Orient all over again. It just every time we went forward, looked like we're going to score.
It's that difficult thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like if you're 3-0 up, it is that. It was like we seem to have these little purple spells in a game where we just fly at people and everything seems to fall our way and stuff, but you can't do that over 90 minutes. It's just unless you're playing a team of under 18s.
And I mean, look, the goal that we concede, it's a cracking corner, and I mean, actually, having watched the highlights, they had another one in the second half where they hit the bar. Exactly the same corner routine.
It's a great corner.
Yeah, there was no way that. But I mean, if they don't score at that point, because it was quite close to half time, wasn't it, when Barrow scored their goal. And I just think that regardless of whether they'd scored or not, Phil Brown changed their tactics and he gave them a kick up the arse at half time.
Well, he did it before.
Oh, yeah, Amber, yeah, exactly.
And he made a sub, didn't he? That changed it a little bit.
He definitely did change it. And he did, and they did get into the game then. And then, of course, we were on the back foot for the majority of the second half. But we changed it as well. I think originally we started 4-3-3, then went to like a back three with wing backs. And I think Phil Brown said in his like post-match interview that it was a real tactical battle between the sort of two sets of coaches because they were, I think Phil Brown said he did 4 different formations. 4 different sets of tactics throughout the game because John Brady was doing that himself. And therefore, you know, they were constantly trying to get one up on each other through change of formation, change of style and all this, that and the other. So I do think that I know that there are people out there that have sort of said that we sat back and that we tried to just sort of go, well, 3-1 is good. I mean, in fairness, 3-1 is a great result away from home. You do that anywhere else at any other time of the season and we're all happy as Larry. We've won 3-1 away from home. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. It's only because of the fact that in the other game that we've got no control over whatsoever, an absolute ridiculous fluke happens where Bristol Rovers go and score 7, exactly the number that they needed to do. It's just...
I don't think you can level anything at the Cobblers on Saturday. They did what they needed to do. They won 3-1. It was a good performance. Even when we needed to score, there was a couple of chances. I thought Hoskins
had
better with a header. Mm-hmm. It might have been Hoskins twice, actually, I think. I think there was still scope. At that point, I'll be honest, in the home end, I'd given myself away massively by that point.
Yeah, which point did it turn? When we scored, what did you do?
I did the old silent celebration, but I think I was pretty obvious. I turned around and my fists were clenched and stuff.
Yeah.
And like we were fist bumping and stuff. So I don't think it was, you know, the Barrow fans next to us and stuff and near us we were talking to them, they were fine. But one of them was he kept saying, we're going to ruin your day. Even when it was 3-1, he was like, we're going to ruin your day. And at the end, he was like, I told you we'd ruin your day. I was like, well, you didn't.
Yeah, you didn't.
Bristol Rovers, you rolled over for us. Thanks.
Scunthorpe under 8s.
The last 10 minutes, we just said, right, screw it. Let's start. Like, because we were right at the front and we had a couple of throw-ins and we were saying, Pinnock, come on, we need a goal.
Yeah.
But to be honest, they looked a bit like they had nothing left. Yeah. Like it felt like they obviously knew the message had got across from, they could tell from the, you know, the Barrow fans singing about Bristol Rovers that I'm sure the bench had told them and stuff. Looked like it just knocked the wind out of them completely, really. Although, you know, they still gave it a go right to the end, but it, you could just see on their faces a little bit.
Like, it's like, it's one of them, what more do we have to do kind of thing.
Yeah, it was that.
It's like, I just felt it, you know, as well. As soon as Bristol Rovers got to, I think it was 2-0 at half time, wasn't it? And I was thinking, oh, you know, we were right here. We're matching them. Absolutely fine. Nothing's going to go wrong. As soon as it gets to 4-5, you start getting that sinking feeling, and you start this. It's going to happen. You just know they're going to score what they need to score. They pitch invade, assume to try and delay their game to finish after ours.
Oh, that's orchestrated. Likely. I know I can't prove it, but that's definitely orchestrated.
Absolutely. And I get the feeling if we'd have scored again, the last 10 minutes they go and score another one because they know they have to. But it turned on to the Radio Northampton, and I followed. Turned on to the Bristol Rovers commentary to finish the game. And you could tell they're just strolling around with it. They said, oh, Scunthorpe are not offering anything. But they could have, you could tell they could have gone and got another one if they needed to. So it's more than likely it wouldn't have mattered anyway. And I could kind of tell why, like, understand it a little bit why we were trying to defend as well. Because obviously if Barry score, then it screws us over anyway. So
we couldn't
do that much more than we...
No, you can't. You've seen some stuff being levelled at, like, you know, why don't we just keep going for it and stuff and all that sort of... Like, that's not... difficult. You can't in that situation. Bristol Rovers had no choice. They literally just had to go and score as many goals as they. It's very different.
Yeah.
It's a completely different game plan. But when it was 3-0, and especially when it went to 3-1, you don't want to concede another one because that makes it one less that Bristol have got to get.
Yeah.
If we could have nicked another one or another two, obviously it'd have been great. But it's that fine balance, isn't it? I don't think the team or the management or the decisions, really. I think you can maybe question why they took off Epio. I mean, I know he was starting to be less effective, but he was the one person we've got with a bit of pace and trickery.
But it got a little bit disjointed after that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Danny Rose came on way too early for my liking.
Yeah, but I get it. Again, it wasn't sticking up front either.
No,
it was just bouncing and coming back.
Yeah.
Again, that's to give Danny Rose his due, when he wasn't on the floor, he did win a few headers and stuff, so I don't know.
He got a clean sheet.
Hey, yeah, he did. Yeah, brilliant. As many clean sheets as goals.
Exactly. Yeah.
On the basis of it, look at the league table. I got 80 points. We're finished four points off the top, which is ludicrous to think now. But we finished 4 points off the top. We finished 80 points. We couldn't have expected a lot more from the season.
Hey.
I don't think we did expect a lot more from the season.
Well,
it's just so happens
say, hold
that.
On. Hold sorry, on, Danny. Go on. You know the biggest travesty out of all of this?
Yeah.
I had us down to finish third, if you remember right.
Oh, you did, yeah. You did. Yeah.
Absolute travesty.
Yeah. But it's one of them.
The Saturday was annoying, it was frustrating. I'm over it. It happened, that's football. These sort of things do happen from time to time. Freak things like that happen and stuff. If you want to pick holes, you know, look, we drew 0-0 with Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
It never have happened, right? There's a couple of other so there's other points, but over the whole season, it's been a good season. We're still in the mix. Can we beat Mansfield? Yes. Can we beat Port Vale? Yes. Can we beat Swindon? Yes. So I think, you know, we've got to look forward now. Big game, Saturday at 7:45. What a time.
Yeah. Prime time.
After the FA Cup final. Yeah.
Prime time. Is it? Is it after the Lord Mayor show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's
what's
the thing
on now, lads? Mansfield, Northampton.
I'm so glad we've got a week to go into it because they're just going to be so deflated. You've seen all of them on social media today, the last few hours, thinking, like, I just can't. They don't know how to process it. Like, none of them. Like, the same as us. We just don't know how to process it. It's so much easier if Barrow had gone and beat us 2-0 and we've been awful and we're like, oh, fine, accept it, play us. We were awful. We don't deserve it. But because we've gone and won, because another team had done something stupid and ridiculous, it's really hard to actually process that in your head about actually, but how do we react to this? And I think
it goes one of two ways.
Yeah.
Either we'll lose 5-0 against Mansfield and it'll be done and dusted, and we'll just be absolutely shot, or we'll use it as a motivation thing and we'll come out flying and we'll boss it. Yeah. I don't think there'll be a middle ground where we'll be like playing like we have been, for, you know, like for most of the season. I think it will either be completely gone, which would be understandable, as frustrating as it would be, or we'll come out completely on it and we'll show them.
I think we've
got to get the first goal. I think, haven't we?
I'm just looking at the last five games. Going into these playoffs, we are the form team. you know, four wins and a draw, and that draw being against Exeter, of course, at home last weekend. Mansfield have won two, lost one and drawn two. Port Vale have lost three out of five. Swindon have won four and lost one. So, I mean, you know, we are the form team going into it. We don't, or we shouldn't have anything to fear. And the other thing, and this is the thing that has really helped me kind of get through the pain from, you know, Saturday and what happened. The last five games have been brilliant. Our performances have been great. Everything has clicked, and all the stuff that we were moaning about 3 months ago during January, where we weren't scoring goals, it felt like we were just set piece FC, and everyone was saying, "Oh, we've not got any attacking threat." All this, that, and the other. We've gone and changed that, and we've become a team that actually. I mean, look at Sam Hoskins' two goals against Barrow. His first one was absolutely lovely, bending it around the defender and then getting it right in the bottom corner. The goalkeeper has got no chance of saving that because of him being blindsided by the defender that is in front of him and then how close and tight into the corner it is. And then the second one, I mean, it's a lovely bit of worked play. It's absolutely lovely. And Sam hits it first time to just slot it past the keeper. That kind of thing was what wasn't happening for us in January, and we've solved it.
It's that attacking movement, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I know he's not necessarily getting the goals, but Louis Apparé is just, you can see he is better than this division. The ball sticks to his feet. He's clever. Sometimes he gets bullied off the ball. Sometimes it doesn't quite fall for him. And yet, he's not scored as many goals as maybe we would like, certainly what he would probably like at the moment as well. But everything seems to be clicking at the moment. So if we go into the playoffs with that knowledge of we are a good side, we are a really good team at the moment, there's no way that we should be fearing anybody. And that's got to give us hope and give us positivity.
Yeah. Yeah, you think so. I mean, the last time we played at Mansfield, we were different, completely different. We had Labala playing. We had Zimba starting because I think he just scored the week before. We had Lewis in midfield. Completely different outlook, I think. I think what we've got to get away from is playing Hoskins at right back. Like, we've got to find a solution. If Aaron McGowan ain't playing, we've got to have Hoskins at top. I think because he is... Right, I know what your solution might be, Neil. But I feel like we've got to get Hoskins up there, because when he goes to right wing back, it feels like he's wasted now.
Yeah,
it's 13 Agreed. Goals this season. What a great season he's had. Get him up there.
It's been brilliant.
I was surprised he didn't go in goal, by the way, just to complete his tour of the positions.
Looking back, I'm quite disappointed he didn't, just so that he could say that he's played in every single position for Northampton Town. That'd be amazing. I don't want to dwell on this or give too much airtime to it, because obviously...
Well, then don't.
Can we have Neil's solution first as well?
Oh, yeah, Neil's solution. What was your solution, Neil?
It's obviously me, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Get you in.
Yeah. Get me on right with that.
The one thing, actually, I'll say this before we move on to what I was going to say a minute ago. One of the most disappointing things about how it ended was that I really wanted us to obviously win the game and go up and then have a mass celebration on the pitch with all the players. And the one thing that I really wanted was to get a photo of Neil with Michael Harriman.
Hey, could happen at Wembley.
Oh, yeah, good. He played at Wembley, didn't he, last time, Harriman?
Yeah.
He did.
Lucky. Wing back. Good luck, charm.
Yeah. Get him in there.
Good luck, charm. I saw Jake Sharp at halftime.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Just as we... He was just entering the toilet. That sounds weird, wasn't it?
Jake Sharp's bowel movements with Neil.
He is every 45 minutes, it seems.
I'd imagine there's a lot more on Saturday.
Yeah. But I feel like we jinxed it because we had a nice chat. We did say, still a bit nervous, not sure what's going to happen. But then we both ended it with saying, see you on the pitch at full time.
Oh, no.
Oh, was Jake going to go on the pitch?
Yeah, oh, man. I'll tell you what, it was fun on on Saturday in the home end, because every so often you'd walk past and you'd be like, all right, mate.
Yeah, see you. Yeah. Knowing all right, nod.
Like, all right, mate.
Yeah. It was Tom Cliff was telling me. So Tom was sat with the directors because of the fact that he wanted to make sure that as many fans got tickets. So he, rather than taking an away ticket for himself,
he is a director.
Yeah, he used the one and only time that he has done. He used his thing to go in the director's lounge or boardroom, whatever it's called. And he just said, so he was sat with Kelvin Thomas, and he just said every now and again somebody, a Cobblers fan, would just walk past and they'd give each other a knowing nod.
just literally what it was like.
Yeah.
I mean, who did I see? I saw Alex Butcher was in there.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah, he was in there with his mate. Had a jovial chat with each other as we all put on Northern accents. Tom Townsend was in there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Of his mates up there, it was nice. It was Giles from the Patrons.
Oh yeah,
yep, stood behind me.
All of these people now banned from Barrow. Next time they go,
name names. Listen, if you can get banned from Barrow,
Don't yourself a favour.
Yeah. An older couple who were Cobblers fans. They didn't really dare speak.
I'm
not sure who they were, but they kept looking and like thumbs up and stuff, but they wouldn't say a word.
Oh, that's good. That's really nice.
I like that.
Oh, I'm so gutted. I was watching it thinking, like, when there's very few away fans that go, which means you know pretty much half of them. And I'm like sat here watching on iPad going, I just want it so badly for all these people who have gone up there. And like, and you know, from our Slack was really quiet because a lot of them were there. Just getting a couple of messages during the game and stuff from people who are there, and you just want it so bad for people, and it's just gutting. It's so gutting.
It was gutting. So very, very quickly, I just want to get your take on what's been happening on social media since, in terms of, now obviously there's been an awful lot, and we talked about the fact that Scunthorpe fielded a young team and basically rolled down and let their bellies get tickled, or whatever the phrase was that was used. I don't know how I feel about lots of Bristol Rovers fans have been in my comments and in the podcast Twitter comments over the weekend. Now we've just ignored them because we're not going to get into any kind of argument or anything like that. And congratulations to Bristol Rovers. I'll say that. I know I've got a couple of friends who are Bristol Rovers fans, and we've obviously spoken to both Kaz and Luce of the Her Game 2
Can we caveat that?
You can.
Congratulations, yes, to Bristol Rovers and all of their supporters and, you know, the ones we've spoken to and stuff. Absolutely not congratulations to Joey Barton, who is an absolute massive dickhead.
Yes, I concur. Second
worst person to lose it to.
Yeah, their fans deserve it fine. They deserve it. Look, they finished third over the season. They deserve it. Fair play to them. Well done. Hell of a result on Saturday. Joey Barton is and will always be a massive, massive prick.
Edit
that out.
And he still gets the attention from the media that he wants so badly. Like, they ignore everything that he's done before.
Like you're doing now. You're giving it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is exactly it. He's got them that thing of his people at the Sky or BBC or whatever. Mm. They're drawn to the Joey Barton story because he's Joey Barton. Like, ignoring everything else about all his allegations that have been against him or whatever, all the things he's said and all the stuff about the Holocaust that he said and all this. It's bizarre. It's so strange.
It is. I mean, so we've had a lot of, you know, comments that I've seen, and it's basically, I don't get it. Celebrate your achievement. Why are we getting Bristol Rovers fans coming in and laughing at us?
Oh, I don't get it.
It's just the way it is, isn't it? It's
modern society now. I saw it as well.
I'm just like, that's the one thing that I don't get. I mean, I've not risen to it because it's pointless, and I don't see, you know, if you give them the reaction, then that's what they're looking for and that's what they want, and that's what some Cobblers fans have done over the weekend is they have risen to it and basically given them a way to be laughed at, which is just,
you'd understand
silly.
It if they beat us,
yeah, but they've not, and I just kind of look at it and just go, and the other thing, and I've noticed this just before we came on, I was just on Twitter, and the thing is that because of the way that the algorithm works, you start seeing things that your followers have liked or your followers have commented on and stuff like that. But this Bristol Rovers fan, there was one account that has actually gone on to one of our Facebook groups and has screenshotted somebody's kind of, you know, mini rant about how, you know, Scunthorpe should be investigated or the game should be replayed and stuff. And don't get me wrong, the guy's got the Bristol Rovers fan here has got a point, because whoever it was, I don't know, but it said the match should be replayed because essentially of the pitch invasion, and they therefore knew how many goals they needed because our game had finished, and et cetera, et cetera. The point being that they're then laughing at it and saying, well, if we replay the game, are we supposed to just pretend that we don't know that you won 3-1 and that we need to win 7-0? I don't, you know.
Yeah,
it makes sense. I get it, but why are you going on to a cobbler's forum, Facebook group, hashtag, whatever, and searching out these things to then laugh at? Go and celebrate your achievement, yeah, for God's sake.
The club didn't know. They tweeted, "Oh, we did as much as we could do onto the playoffs." And there was like loads of Bristol Rovers fans in the comments saying, "Cry more," and like, yeah, things like that. And I'm like, yeah, these must be like 12-year-old kids at home.
Yeah.
Like eating their jelly and ice cream. Yeah. And like, cry more. All right. Yeah. Cheers.
All right. Thanks
very much. Cheers. Enjoy your celebrating. But you're on another club's Twitter feed saying, "Cry more."
Yeah. I mean,
it's just, yeah, I mean, we'd probably do the same, wouldn't we?
Can I just for the positivity side of it, because I guarantee you that there will be a Bristol Rovers fan that decides to listen to this podcast to basically so that they can try and take something that we say and use it against. So
they can reply and say, yeah, crime.
Exactly. So they can do exactly that. But one thing that I absolutely did, because obviously we follow Kaz and Lucy Ford, who, as I said, the Her Game 2 co-founders, on Twitter. And some of the pictures of the celebrations that happened in Bristol, I'm surprised you didn't just lock your door and go down into your basement so you couldn't hear anything.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I did. Yeah.
Players on top of lampposts in the city centre. All of this, it looks amazing.
I honestly don't think I've looked this week.
I haven't seen any of it yet.
Fair enough.
I haven't seen any of the goals. Nothing. I haven't even watched our goals.
Oh, yeah. Go and watch our goals, Neil. Seriously.
No, well, to be fair, Sam Hoskins put them on Instagram, so I saw his too.
Beautiful brace.
Yeah, lovely finishes. But yeah. I don't want to relive it again, thank you.
No, fair enough.
I'm on to next week now.
Absolutely. Well, look, we'll go into next week in a moment, but we'll just take a little bit of a break so that you can all breathe deep and...
That's the new rule. You have to listen to the podcast, you don't have to breathe.
Just take a deep breath and we'll be back in a minute. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me.
That was longer than I thought.
Literally made Danny hold his breath for about 5 minutes there. Thank you, Danny. Well,
and a mask on as well.
Yeah. We're going to dip into your post back, Neil, first off. So let's hear from my terrace buddy and person that gave me a ticket, basically, to go to Barrow. And I want to thank him again, Malcolm.
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Yes, time to dip in to Neil's sack and find out what you've got to say about all things Northampton Town. You can, of course, send us your thoughts to podcast@cobblerstome.com or find us on social media where we're at cobblerstome on both Twitter and Facebook. So, Neil.
It's a mildly bulging sack this week. Mm-hmm. I think we've had a quieter week due to the events that unfolded. But Neil Eisenhower has sent us in. What a name, by the way.
Brilliant name. Love it.
Neil Eisenhower. Oh. So he says, however the next couple of weeks unfold, it's been a pleasure discovering the It's All Cobblers to Me podcast and in some way reconnecting with my old hometown club. I was at Wembley in 97 and hope some of that spirit can see the Cobblers rise again.
Yes.
Leads me to ask, where is Neil Eisenhower based?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately, but it's a great question. He raises a very good point. Now, obviously, we're hosting the Wembley 97 reunion event at Six Hills on Friday the 20th of May.
Interesting. One could be awkward.
Could be awkward. Hopefully, it's going to be amazingly positive and brilliant.
Just that we've just lost the semi-final to Mansfield and we're just talking about a final we won at Wembley. Oh, I mean, I'm sure it'll still be great.
It will be great. Of course it will be.
I mean, imagine if we've won the playoff semi-final as well. It would be an absolute party.
Won the playoff semi-final, I will wear my spangly jacket.
Oh, yes. Come on, get
you
that in
there. You keep promising me this. You keep changing the terms and conditions of you wearing it, though.
This is your final terms and conditions. Right, okay. And make it to Wembley, I will wear the spangly jacket.
The cheese rolling championships has been delayed. Yes. That's delayed.
Delayed. Still on the cards.
Delayed.
Still a few organisational issues.
A child ran away with our cheese.
In a Stow Lider jacket.
Yeah. Scone Island, Charles. Right, we've got one from Robert Butcher. Wants to question the rules and regulations. Oh. So how could it be right that there are rules for the Mickey Mouse Pizza Cup about teams fielding a certain number of first-team regulars, that EFL games on decisive final day of the season, Scunthorpe can play their youth squad? Zero integrity in the league competition is apparently acceptable.
It's one of the... I mean, Scunthorpe fans have been saying that they've been basically playing that same team for the last three games.
That's been debunked, yeah, I would say.
Kind of.
Someone compared their last two teams, and it's like, that's not the same, is it? there is a rule.
Big Joe Nuttall was in there, though, wasn't he?
Big Joe Nuttall was in there.
So that means that's not surely not a first team, is it? If he's in there,
it's not a youth team, though, is it?
There is a section. There is this in the. I've got some EFL regulations for you.
Regulation
section 5, fixtures.
Oh, favourite section.
2.24, requirement to play full strength sides in league matches. 2.24.1. Each club shall play its full strength in all matches played under the auspices, I don't know how to pronounce that word, but we'll go with it, of the league, unless some satisfactory reason is given. That's a bit tenuous. In the event of the explanation not being deemed satisfactory, the board shall refer the matter to the disciplinary commission, which has the power to impose such penalties as it shall think fit. Guidance. From the fourth Thursday in March, any team sheet for a league game should include at least 10 outfield players who featured on the team sheet for the league game before.
Okay.
Mm.
So, I mean, look, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. No. I would question, my view here is Scunthorpe can actually, look, they're going down to the conference. They can and should be able, if they feel like playing their youth team is best for their team and their club moving forward, they should be able to do that. I would question the integrity of the competition point, though.
In terms of that, that's exactly it, isn't it? You've got to be fair to other teams in the league. Yeah, yeah. You can talk about like the legal bits and pieces and what the wording is all you want, but there is like literally the integrity of the league.
I feel sorry for the under 18 players that played for Scunthorpe away. I mean, he was there at Bristol 10,000 odd or however many there was, and must have been a hell of an atmosphere. Like, that's probably going to ruin some of their careers. They probably won't come back from that.
No, does none of them any good at all. That's basically a cop-out from Keith Hill as well, because he's not throwing any of the players that got him in that position out there on the last day to be... they should have suffered that. I mean, I'm quite happy if Scunthorpe have played... They're crap, aren't they?
They're terrible.
I'm more than happy if they've gone and thrown the first team out there and they've got beat 7-0. Because that's the team that's been playing all season. And you expect it. We said it last week that we're looking at it thinking Bristol Rovers could beat Scunthorpe 7-0 because they're shit. But throwing a load of what this first year scholar in goal and all this kind of thing, it leaves a bit of taste. And
it does.
It you know, it's not going to be changed or anything. It's not there. But if that happens, let's in the Premier, just if that, that happens in the Premier League, there's absolute uproar, isn't there, because of the money involved. But because it's this kind of situation in League Two, it's going to get brushed over because Joe Barton's in charge and all that.
So. Yeah, let's hope that Scunthorpe drop again.
National
League North. And
well,
then,
they've got no money, have they? So they probably will. That's the thing.
And by all accounts,
they're not coming back up.
Their youth team's crap.
Joe Nuttall's playing up front for them. That's punishment enough.
Brilliant.
What a career.
Look, I know we're coming towards the end of the season, but we have got the playoffs. So if you've got an opinion on the Cobblers or a question for us, then send them our way to podcast@cobblerstome.com or @cobblerstome on social media. Right.
Charles.
Yes, Danny.
Nothing. I just...
Good. I'm glad.
Charles, I actually have got something.
Go on then, mate.
No, I'm kidding again.
Right, before we talk about actual trophy being awarded to a Cobbler side at the weekend, let's just talk very quickly. Oh, Neil just collapsed.
Neil's holding his breath again.
Then, obviously, the playoffs are coming. Mm-hmm. Saturday night. We mentioned it, Mansfield away in the first leg and then at home in the second leg. We will do a preview show that will come out on Friday as per normal. However, I just want to get your guys' thoughts on it. Are you ready to talk about it in any way, shape or form yet?
Oh, yeah. I moved on from what happened. Absolutely. Yeah, you move on to the playoffs.
Neil's booked a caravan in Mansfield.
Look, Mansfield's another place, I think, that would just
pass. We all know what Dawn thinks of it as well.
Chessie's well. I'm
fully over now. It's done. It's what happens in football. These things happen. It's horrible.
Charles. I've got something.
Have you really, though?
I've got, I've
actually promise?
Got a question. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Do you know what Mansfield means as well? You're talking about the preview show. We get Craig and Clive back.
We do get Craig and Clive round two. Back. I'm looking forward to it.
That comedy duo. Get him in.
I must admit, I'm looking forward to it. So obviously this time around, we get to play the home leg second.
Yes.
Charles.
Well, mechanics of the playoffs have been...
Yeah, so it works.
Thank you. But it's the first time since 98 that we've been able to have it that way around. All the others have always been home leg first, away leg second.
Mm.
Now...
Ooh. Bristol Rovers again.
The issue that I've got, this is the thing that terrifies me, is that in all of the home legs that we've had where we've had the home leg first, we either lose or draw. 0-0. And then what we do is we go away from home and have an absolute stormer to then make it to Wembley. That's been how it's happened the last two times. I'm really worried about it being the other way around. I don't know why.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to pull you up on that, Charles.
Okay.
Ooh,
I know you like me pulling you up with a fun fact. I'm going to bring to the table Cheltenham Town.
Yes.
Where we won the first leg at Sixfields 1-0. With little Ray O'Donovan. You remember him?
Do you know what? For some reason, I had it in my head that was 0-0, and then it was Gottridge's stormer.
Thunder bastard. We won the first leg 1-0, and then they missed a penalty, didn't they, quite early on in the second.
Of course, yeah.
I'm going to make a bold prediction, Charles. Oh,
Steve Bold.
Go on.
Steve Bold.
Yep. Get him in.
We will not lose to Mansfield at home.
Oh, God.
For fuck's sake.
We won't lose to Mansfield at home, so it all relies on how we perform in the first leg. We could be out of it. We could lose 5-1 in the first leg, in which case we still might beat him at home, but it won't be enough.
Positive.
I'm confident.
Stay
positive.
All I want is stay in the game. That's the key. I reckon
we go out there and we go for the kill in both.
I don't know. I've got a feeling that we go a little bit short to keep it tight at Mansfield.
No,
I've got a feeling we go.
No, that's how it goes wrong, Danny. That's how it goes wrong.
No, I know it does, but that's what I'm fearing. I think we're going full Calderwood in the first leg.
No, we're not.
We'll play on the break.
John will go like, right, Colin, you take the first leg, I'll have the second. We'll lose maybe 0-0 or lose 1-0 in the first leg. That's the way they do it. And then John will get the second leg and we'll win 3-0.
Okay, all right.
No, I've got confidence in him.
I've got a lot more
confidence now. Since they were the last team to beat us, weren't they? When we were pretty awful when we played them up there.
I've got confidence. Yeah, look, Mansfield, they're all right. I would say Bristol Rovers are a better team
yep.
Mansfield. Exeter are a better team than Mansfield.
Much better.
We're a better team than Mansfield.
We are a better team. Obviously, it's two separate games and it's two one-off games. Yes. Right? But it's, you know, we are the better team. So we should have confidence. You know, we've got 21 clean sheets.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, exactly. We've got,
and we're scoring goals now.
Let's have three more, please.
We've got 1,600 tickets to the away leg, haven't we? I think I saw today.
Yep.
Good.
So that should be decent.
That'll be sorted.
And the sevens getting free if you can.
Hey, good.
Lovely
get,
stuff.
Get a Scunthorpe team in there.
Well done, Danny. Brilliant. Right then, we'll, as I said, do a full preview show later in the week. Looking forward to that one. But, Danny.
Yes.
I know you're looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this. When I say NTFC women, you say...
Champions! Hey. Champions! Ah, yes, get that in there.
Absolutely.
That turned the weekend mood around, didn't it?
Oh, yes, didn't it, Josh?
Oh, yes.
So
what
happy.
A result. I was a little bit concerned about the Lincoln game because they're quite a decent side.
Last team to beat us.
They were. Mm. And I was thinking, oh, maybe it's not going to be this weekend... But it was top of the league. We were having it's important to say we've beaten Rise Park 11-1 on Thursday. Was it 11-1 in the end?
It was, I think.
I lost count at last.
To go top, which was insane.
I mean, does that mean that Scunthorpe are better than Rise Park?
Oh, no.
Not any, I think Rise Park could beat them.
I do.
The incredible thing is Rise Park may not go down still.
What?
It's a team worse than them in the table. What a great afternoon for them. I mean, seeing the pictures this afternoon on Twitter feed and stuff, it's so good. For Lou and Josh to get that moment finally after, I think they were doing pretty well in the league in the season that got curtailed. They were on the way to getting promoted. I think for whatever reason, the leagues were rejigged and everything, and they've had to start again almost. But same group of players. We're so happy for this group. It's been a journey, and they've finally got. I know they got the cup a couple of weeks ago. But they've finally got something that they can see that they've got at the end of this. It's been what a journey, I get the feeling it's the first step as well. Like keep that squad together and let's go for it because there's no reason why we can't attack.
Celebratory pod incoming.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. We're going to get Lou Baker on as many as we can.
What I was going to say, get him live to sing number five, please.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Two games to spare, though, as well. So maybe at the end of their season.
Yeah, yeah. Wait till the season's over. Get him on.
Yeah. Party time. Party tour now.
You're right as well. The pictures and the scenes were great to see, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. I particularly enjoyed seeing them all jumping on each other. Where they all do the pylon. That's the words I was
pylon,
looking for.
Yeah. Pylon.
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 Pylon. Time for a pylon.
Pylon.
I tell you what, you know, not to detract from this achievement, but it's the second time on Sunday at Harpole playing fields that there were such celebrations and scenes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Harpole under 12s gained promotion.
Woohoo.
Yeah. Not quite as good achievement as the ladies.
I believe your lad got an assist, didn't he?
Lovely, lovely through ball.
There you go.
Little parental thumbs up.
Yeah.
Have you seen the picture? Sorry, I don't want to detract away from that,
Neil,
which is a great achievement in itself.
But you should.
Have you seen the picture in the, I think it must have been pinned up in the dressing room somewhere, of the mountain? With the cobbler's badge on it, that's clearly been moved up over time. I think.
It was on Lou's Twitter feed,
And they've got they've basically got a mountain with a number of points by the side of it, and obviously goes up and up and up. And they've clearly been moving the badge up as the season's gone on. And they've got a list of their opponents there that they're ticking off, and it's like a war sheet. Just massive congratulations to them. I'm
have Rice
sad.
Park got one of those. Underwater.
Poor old Rice Park. Leave him alone. But we're going up. We're going up into
going up.
To the old, I think by my calculations, it's the National League Division 1 Midlands it will be.
Okay.
Where such giants as Doncaster Rovers Bells, who used to be a very big thing in the women's game.
They did,
dropped down a couple of divisions. They're in that division at the moment. They're still potentially going up, but... Also got Leek Town is in there.
Leek Town.
Leafield Athletic, Solihull Moors, and that blue lot from down the road. They're in there. Hey.
But this was one of the things, wasn't it? Do you remember? Because Peterborough got moved up in that whole shake-up of the divisions. It wasn't a promotion that they earned necessarily. And we'd already beaten them twice that season. Mm-hmm. And we'd actually managed to play them twice before the season was curtailed and stopped. And yet they got moved up and we didn't. So that's nothing to fear. Six easy points next year.
I mean, and they've beaten teams from that division in the cup and stuff, haven't they? I think there's and just looking forward to there being good challenges next season, because they've clearly been in games like Thursday night against Rice Park where they've it's been completely one sided and it's not really that fun. I don't think I can imagine.
Hey, what though? If they are up against that blue lot twice next year, you know, we could be as the men, I should say, could be as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Four games again. Get them. I'll tell you what.
Double header it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, double header it. Oh, yes. Imagine that.
At both. At both. Get them done at Sixfields and London Road or wherever they bloody play these days.
What would you do? 12 o'clock kickoff for the ladies?
Yeah. That'd be brilliant.
That's a little.
Be steaming.
Could we actually do the men first?
Yeah, get that out
because,
of the way.
Because actually, get that out of the way, and then we'll watch a win.
Yeah, your point, yeah.
Charles, can I just read the record out? Because it's something else.
Yes.
Of course you can.
16 games played this season. 14 wins.
Whoa.
2 draws.
Oh.
0 defeats.
Amazing.
None. No defeats. None. Bugger all. 0 zip. Zilch.
How many, Danny?
None.
Oh.
Scored. 70 goals.
Flipping heck. 70.
Yeah. Conceded in 16 games, conceded 8.
Wow.
8. That, by my calculations, Charles.
Yes.
1 every 2 games.
Yes, well done.
Quick math, I did that on the spot.
Quick maths on the spot. Yeah. Love it. What's the goal difference then?
62. Well plus 62, done. I think. Yeah.
Well done. Yeah.
Maths with Danny.
I'm looking at the league table like you are. Now, We know we're very free scoring and it's lovely, but I've just noticed here that we're not actually the top scorers in the division.
No,
Lincoln United have scored 88 goals.
Yeah. Well, they didn't score any on Sunday, did they?
They did not. Slugs. 88 goals. I mean, essentially what we've got to do now is in the last two games, you know what you've got to do, NTFC women. You've got to make up that goal difference.
Yeah, come on.
You've got to outscore Lincoln. Come on.
And if you do, well, I would like to see a picture of every single player holding a slug.
To be fair, they're playing Leicester City LFC first team next.
Can
I read their record for you, Charles?
You can, go for it, mate.
Played 17, won 1, drew 1, lost 15, scored 15 goals.
Oh.
Conceded 128.
Oh, God. Okay.
There we go.
Sorry, that's who we're playing next.
Yes, that's who we're playing next. Yes. Ooh. We're playing them while Lincoln play Altibridge.
That hasn't even got ding-dong potential. That's just got ding, ding,
yeah, 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 yeah. 90
ding,
minutes
ding, in ding. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yes, well done to everyone connected to NTFC Women. It has been such an honour being able to chat about you every single week, about how good it is that you've been, how successful that they've been, just how wonderful it is to see all of the hard work over the last, 3 years, just paying off in spectacular fashion. So from all of us here to everyone at NTFC Women, including, of course, our very own Abby Bruin, who we are so proud to sponsor and have done for the last 2 seasons, it is going to be absolutely fantastic to see you in the league above, and we can't wait for it.
Fourth tier,
just brilliant, wasn't it? With last week was Newcastle when they played their game in front of 22,000 fans at St James's Park. Yeah, they're in the fourth tier, aren't they?
They are, yeah, in one of them. Yeah, it's still regionalised.
But I mean, that's the standard that we're now up to. Incredible, incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much.
The dog's just going mad outside.
Oh. Is there a Bristol Rovers fan out there?
Spotted the celebrations.
Yeah. That'll be what it is. Well, look, there you go. Thank you very much for listening. Really enjoyed that. I hope you've enjoyed it too. And we've helped to somewhat get you back in the mood for more football. As I said earlier on, we'll be speaking to a couple of Mansfield fans on the preview show on Friday as we look ahead to the first leg of the playoffs. Thanks so much for listening, as you have done throughout the season. And remember, if you do enjoy the podcast, If you'd like to help us, help support us in any way, shape or form, then you can do. The best way to do it is to obviously listen. And if you can do it, then join the fan club on Patreon, where you'll get access to even more podcasts and also that community on Slack that we talk about every single week. To sign up, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me and help support the podcast from just £2 a month. We'll be back on Friday. Thanks for listening. Up the Cobbs.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the Fan Hub 100. Football without fans.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.